Support for podcasting on KBIA comes from Grindstone Fitness Studio, a full-service gym offering equipment for traditional exercise like weight and cardiovascular training, as well as specialized classes. Choices include personal training, spinning, yoga, Pilates, and more. All classes taught by certified professionals. More information is available at 443-4447, Grindstone Fitness Studio, 3005 Chinaberry Drive in Columbia.
Hello and welcome to Intersection, where people and ideas meet. Online and on KBIA, I'm Reuben Stern. Beginning in March, Delta Airlines is expected to restore its midday flights to the Columbia Regional Airport. It's welcome news to air travelers, and it comes amid ongoing discussions about how to expand service at the Mid-Missouri Airport. The focus on the airport has gained momentum over the past couple of months, particularly given the trends affecting major airlines. A recent report from consultant Michael Boyd predicts that 100 small airports could lose passenger service by 2020. In addition, he expects regional jets, similar to those flown in and out of Columbia Regional Airport, to be phased out entirely due to increasing fuel and maintenance costs. Meanwhile, the city is already evaluating plans to expand the terminal building at the Columbia Airport, and the question has come up of how to pay for it. One suggestion floated by Mayor Bob McDavid would be to increase the city's lodging tax from about 4% to about 7%. Given all of that, what could be done to improve passenger service at the Columbia Regional Airport? How does an expanded terminal fit in with that? And where is the money going to come from to make all of that happen? Joining me to discuss all of this today, first we have Mike Mathis. He's the city manager of Columbia. The city owns and operates the airport, so he is tasked with dealing with some of these issues as part of his job. Welcome back to our program, Mike Mathis.
Thanks.
We also have with us Michael Kelly. He is the general manager at the Stony Creek Inn in Columbia. He currently serves as a board member for the Missouri Hotel and Lodging Association, and he's also on the City of Columbia Convention and Visitor Advisory Board, among other things. Welcome to our program, Mike Kelly.
Good afternoon.
Glad to have both of you with us. We hope that those of you in our audience will join our conversation as well. What experiences have you had with flying in and out of the Columbia Regional Airport? Give us a call. Share your experience. Our phone number is 573-882-8925. You can also send us an email at intersection@kbia.org. Mike Mathis, I'm going to start with you. A lot of communities like Columbia are expected to lose their air service altogether within about 10 years. What's the prognosis for Columbia?
Well, I think the prognosis for Columbia is better than that, and I say that only based on the people I've met. I don't think anyone in Columbia wants to see that happen, and so the question then becomes, well, how do we avoid that future state? And there is a real concern. I think 6 months ago or so, you might remember the news where there were airports sort of shut down throughout the country, really smaller destinations. But they were served by the same service we have. So it kind of gives you a little bit of fear when you see that start to happen. That, well, what separates Columbia from those places? Now, the thing I think that we have going for us is a tremendous market for flying. Our catchment area, as somebody calls it, that's the word, I guess. Mm-hmm. Don't ask me to spell it, catchment area. is a pretty compelling market for airlines. So that's the thing we're sort of hanging our hopes on.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of the people working to try to build the service at the airport, what is going on in terms of trying to bolster that, trying to increase the attractiveness of Columbia Regional to the airlines?
You know, this is really an impressive set of work that's happening. Greg Steinhoff is who works with Veterans United Home Loans. He's really sort of spearheading a group at the chamber to really drive what can businesses do. And then the university's been a strong partner from day one. Obviously, Jefferson City's interested in this. They care about what happens to that airport, as well as the lakes, the lake. Everyone in Columbia and within, I'd say, a half an hour driving distance.
Right. Mike Kelly, how important is the airport to tourism in this area?
The importance is important to tourism, without a doubt. How much is always a little bit hard to gauge for us, depending on our different travelers that we have, be it a transient guest, a business traveler, if you will, to the number of sporting events that we have here in Columbia. You know, we host a little over 20 weekends of pure sporting events. These are K through 12 kids that come here and are here for, be it baseball, football, wrestling, basketball.
Right. Now, one of the things in that consultant report that came out, they're projecting that airports that have fewer than 150,000 passengers getting on planes at the airport are going to really feel the pinch. Last year, Columbia had between 35 and 36,000 passengers. That's a lot less than the 150,000. How likely is it that Columbia is going to be able to get up to a high number like 150,000 passengers? And what would it take to make that happen?
You know, I think there's a fairly straightforward answer there, and that's when you realize that we capture about 7% of the flying public at the Columbia Airport, you know, and that's from people who live here. So 93% of the people who live here drive to St. Louis or Kansas City to fly. So I think the real answer is destinations. You know, I think the reason they don't fly from Columbia is that plane's not going where they are. So, you know, if we can get a better hub or more hubs, I would say Memphis is very popular. The planes are full. So I think if we can get more hubs, I think it would be an easy task to capture more flyers.
Okay, let me remind everyone in our audience, this is Intersection, a program of KBIA and the Reynolds Journalism Institute. Today we're talking about the future of passenger air service at Columbia Regional Airport and plans for expanding the terminal building out there. Joining me in the studio are Columbia City Manager Mike Mathis, along with Michael Kelly, the General Manager of the Stony Creek Inn, and a board member for the Missouri Hotel and Lodging Association. For those of you in our audience, how important is air service out of Columbia to you, and how might you be affected if it were to be reduced? Give us a call, 573-882-8925. You can also send us an email at intersection@kbia.org. Feel free to call in with questions for our panelists as well. And we'd like to remind you that Intersection is broadcast live every Monday at 2 on KBIA and online at kbia.org. You can join our online chat at that time by going to kbia.org and scrolling down to the link for Intersection. In terms of trying to increase those destinations, change, I mean, right now flights go to Memphis and they connect to a lot of other places on Delta. What is required to get flights that would go somewhere else? I mean, how hard is that going to be? It's been talked about for years in this town. Mm-hmm. Oh, if we could only go to Chicago, if we could only go to Dallas. How hard is that sell? How hard is it going to be to get an airline to take that?
Well, we have some things going for us. One is Delta is making a profit on their runs. So we get to take that to another airline and say, look, they're making money. You can too. Now, it's so expensive to run an airplane to a destination that, you know, they're probably not going to look at that and just go, well, let's take it on. Let's do it. We'll probably have to guarantee that, you know, a stop loss of some kind, money. We'll have to put money on the table and say, look, if you lose up to X number of dollars, we'll compensate you for that.
And do you have a sense of how much that would require?
Well, I have to look around for examples, right? So Manhattan, Kansas is a great example. They put $2.1 million into a revenue guarantee over 2 years, and I think they spent $200,000 or something like that. So it was the first few months startup that is where they lost money, and then they haven't lost a dime since the first few months.
And how long ago was that?
That was 2 years ago, I believe.
Mm-hmm. And where did that money come from? Was it the city that put up the money, or?
In Kansas, the state put up the lion's share, and the city filled in the breach. I think the city ended up paying the loss because it wasn't the full 2.1.
Right. The Tribune has reported that there are business leaders suggesting that local businesses might be contributing to some sort of a fund that would guarantee mm-hmm. the airlines. Is that? Do you have any idea of how extensive that might be?
I know there's a lot of conversation about that, and you know, the compelling case to be made is if you do it right, you won't have to spend it, right? So if we all choose Columbia to fly, we're not going to lose that money. So it's almost, you look at it almost like a savings account and a way to convince an airline to take a chance on us.
Right. Mike Kelly, you're nodding to that. Does this seem like a good strategy to you?
It does. We fully CHS, Columbia Hospitality Association, fully supports this task force and what it's doing. It has one of the best approaches out there. It is totally looking at it from a business point of view and looking at it from four different subcommittees that they have working on it right now. So without a doubt, that task force and its recommendations is what we're after.
Right. What about the idea brought up by the consultant that the airlines are going to require destinations that have more and more passengers going to them? And one of the things that is pointed out in that consultant report is that these 50-seat planes are becoming less and less profitable for the airlines to operate, and they're wanting to bump up to the next level of 100-seater jets rather than 50-seater jets. How do you think that's going to play out in the future of airline travel in and out of Columbia if they have to fill 100 seats on every plane?
I
throw that to both
first.
Of you. Yeah.
I think that the point is well made. I think it's inevitable, right? Just with growth and the number of the population that we're serving all over the country, it becomes, like every other mode of transport, it's bigger, as you move throughout time. Now, I think it may take longer than that consultant, Mike Boyd, believes. But I don't have any reason to know that. I just see how many there are still operating. But if you think about it, we were in turboprops just a few years ago, and we made the jump to regional jets. And there would have been people that would have said, turboprops are here to stay. They're pretty good technology. They're really, fuel efficient, et cetera. They failed to cut it, so no one runs turboprops anymore. Maybe in Alaska you can still get some. But not in a commercial setting, Yeah. So I think that Mike Boyd is right there. It's just when will that happen is the question.
Right. Mike Kelly, your thoughts on that?
We get a lot of requests at the front desk at our hotel. If you'd just be able to fly somewhere other than Memphis, the cost is just very prohibitive. So can you fly out of Dallas? We get a lot of guests, that are going to St. Louis, Kansas City. Quantifying it is definitely the big issue. And so that's, again, we kind of hate to scope back to one thing, but we really are putting a lot of focus into the task force. We have one of our board members that serves on that task force as well.
Mm-hmm. In terms of attracting the airlines into this, obviously it has to fit in with their route schedules, their flights, things like that. What else? The terminal building itself has been cited as one of the problems, and that brings into the conversation the recent proposals for the terminal building, things like that. I wonder, Mike Mathis, if you could bring people up to speed on where that stands in terms of the ideas for a new or expanded terminal at the airport.
Sure. Well, if you've been there, you
I have.
I don't have to go on too long. But
I just went through there last week, in fact.
It's I'll put it in a nice way. We don't waste money out at the airport. It was built in 69, I think. If I remember that, and so it's showing its age. Quite honestly, it's scaled too small for even current demand, and how it's flying has changed. We had to squeeze TSA in, so now there's fewer spots for people to sit. We're working on ADA transitions for the bathrooms, and there's a ton of projects I could go into about the physical. Aspect of the whole airport, the runways, the taxiways. There's a big fence project going now, the amount of parking we have, the 63 interchange to get to the airport. In addition, so that's all before you get to the terminal question, and almost all that's happening or in the pipeline for funding from the federal government.
Right. I guess it, on the one hand, it sort of begs the question if more than 90% of the people who are getting on a plane from Columbia are driving to St. Louis or Kansas City, and the airport needs that much to get fixed. Why not just scrap it? Why not just let people go in and out of Kansas City and St. Louis and be done with it?
Well, we could. The city certainly has other uses for that $2 million. However, it is just such a big economic driver. I can't overstate really how much we have lost in the last 2 years. Of new business, so not business shutting down here, but economic development prospects who've come to town. We're in a very short list, sometimes a list of two, and we lose that prospect because it's simply too much hassle to fly in. And then you think about, you know, just our businesses that are already here and how many of them do flying business. And there are things that you wouldn't think of, even manufacturing now. Just-in-time manufacturing has become this really powerful mover of the economy. And you have to fly if you're going to be just-in-time. You know, you can't ship it the old-fashioned way. So that plus university, obviously, is a huge customer. So, I guess the point there is just economic development's a huge reason to care about it still.
Right. And you said, you know, you can't understate the amount that has gone elsewhere. How many different situations like that have you seen over the last year? I mean, I know there was one big one that people were talking about quite a bit. Are you talking multiple of these things where companies were going to come here and they didn't?
Multiple. I have seen that on at least 10 lists of prospects that did not come or didn't happen. And it may not be the reason, but it's number two or number five or number six on the list. So it's coming up more and more as we, the great part of this is Columbia's growing. We're successful in many ways, and this is a problem we're having because we're successful. You know, we're in the World Series here. We keep losing it, right? I feel like we're the Dodgers here in the 50s, right? We make it every year. We get to the bottom. We get right to the end. But we can't compete, and that's one of the major reasons we aren't competing.
Okay. Again, for our audience, this is Intersection, a program of KBIA and the Reynolds Journalism Institute. Today we're talking about expansion plans for the Columbia Regional Airport and the future of passenger air service in mid-Missouri. Joining me in the studio are Columbia City Manager Mike Mathis, along with Mike Kelly, the General Manager of the Stony Creek Inn and a board member for the Missouri Hotel and Lodging Association. For those of you in our audience, if the airport is to be expanded, where do you think the money should come to pay for it? We're going to talk about that next here. Share your thoughts by giving us a call at 573-882-8925. You can also send us an email at intersection@kbia.org. And as I just warned, we're going to talk about where the money would come from to expand the airport. Now, one of the proposals being floated is increasing the hotel tax in order to generate funds to pay for the airport expansion. Mike Kelly, maybe you start us off on that one. What do you think of that proposal as someone in the hotel business?
Well, increasing the hotel tax at this stage of the game from a 4 to a 7% has many different problems with it. One of the problems is there is a direct correlation between raising taxes and lowering occupancy. We've come from a pretty tight time in the last 3 years. It's hard to look at 2008 figures, but in looking at 2009, 10, and 11, we're starting to see a small growth. And we'd hate to see that be stifled. And we can look to Jeff City in some cases to see that example.
What do you mean by that? What happened in Jefferson City?
Jeff City did increase their hotel tax from 4% to 7% to fund the convention center that they're getting ready to plan to build at some point in time. That went into effect last April of 2011. They've seen a decrease in their occupancy, and so less taxes.
And how much did their occupancy go down, do you know?
You'll hear some reports. There's a hotel operator down there that has two hotels. He'll report an 8% drop in occupancy, but some are also kind of hard to tell, to be honest. We're in trying times with the economy the way it's been, so it's not as easy to forecast.
Right. So difficult to kind of put the two together and say this caused that.
But there is the American Hotel Lodging Association will put a direct correlation as well. The last time they did a study was in 2008, and they show as you increase taxes each percentage. They did a study for the state of Missouri showing about as you increase each percentage, it's about $500,000 lost revenue. That's statewide, obviously.
So on a much bigger scale, then.
A much bigger scale. So that's typically what a hotel tax, what we see. A lot of the people that A lot of people think when hotel tax that that's paid by an outside individual. That's actually paid by current companies here in town, be it the university, ABC Laboratories, Jeffrey Smith, just to name a few, State Farm.
Do you have a sense of how much of the hotel rooms that get rented out in Columbia are paid for by local companies as opposed to visitors?
I would say my top of my head, my I'd say at least 20% to 30%, mm-hmm. easily, and that's not counting grandma coming in. That's not counting friends, relatives coming in. So it's and those are all or somebody just coming over for a birthday party.
Right. Mike Mathis, what do you think about the hotel tax? Do you think that's the right way to fund the airport expansion?
Well, it's got some compelling aspects to it, one of which is, the other 70% aren't folks from here. So I think that's, when people think about the hotel, the lodging tax, statistically speaking, it feels like, other people are paying it, tourists are paying it. People that have voted for it throughout Missouri have sort of liked to keep the benefit with the cost, or in that same philosophy, the people that benefit from it paying for it. So it's in one respect it does that better than other type tax solutions. So, for example, the people using the airport. And this is not 100%, obviously, mm-hmm. But the people using the airport end up paying for it through the lodging tax.
That's assuming that a lot of the travelers coming through the airport are tourists coming
right.
to visit.
Right, or spend the night. And I know that, you certainly couldn't say that everyone's that. I think a lot of our overnight guests drive in and out.
They do.
So
A large part of our business here in town, as I alluded to earlier, were our sports teams that come in. Those are all state of the Missouri. Those are all bidded pieces of business. Each 3 years, we bid for that business. A good example is Misha here in town. We get about 8 to 10 weekends out of the year our Misha events, basketball, wrestling, drama, speech, debate.
That's the high school sort of level competition, right?
K-12, okay. Missouri State High School Association, based right here out of Columbia. We get a lot of revenue that comes into that for the city. Mm-hmm. And there's other areas that are vying for that, be it Springfield, Missouri, Kansas City, St. Louis districts would love to have that piece of business.
Right. And what about the MU games? I mean, they draw a lot of people from the Kansas City, St. Louis metro area, don't they?
Sure. But with us, with the airport, I mean, with the football games, those are going to be that's about 7 to 8 weekends, specifically with football.
It is an exciting idea in one respect. With the move to the SEC, those schools really do travel. In fact, we've got pictures from the airports of each of those towns, and they're filled with general aviation planes, as well as the charters that go. Now, that said, it's 6, 7, 8 weekends, so it's it's not a panacea there. Yeah. The other thing to keep in mind, right now there's 300 total seats coming in each day at the airport. Well, not coming in. 150 of those seats are flying out. 150 are coming in.
And that's when they resume the midday service. I mean,
there's only
100.
There's 100 now, yeah. So that's where it stands today. If a terminal is built, then, you could increase that significantly. Tenfold.
And it wouldn't be possible to get more flights in and out of there with the terminal as it stands?
It is possible, and we're actively working that. There are opportunities right now. There's some, I see them as opportunities. American Airlines declared bankruptcy. They're still filling planes and flying everywhere, and they have planes available. So do other airlines. So we're actively pursuing those opportunities, and we could fit at least one more plane, at the same time. We could, with a few small alterations, we could fill 2 planes at once at the airport. So either 2 50-seaters or 100-seater plane. And so, and if you think about it this way, there are something like 16 hours in the flight day. and we're using, you know, three of those. So we've got room to fit planes in the schedule. Now, the complication is you've got to fit with everyone else's schedule, too, that you're flying to. So it's not just that simple, but it is that issue.
And when you say actively working with the other airlines, like are there presentations going on, or did the airlines call for cities that are interested in having service, or is this tracking down the airlines and trying to beg them to serve the airport? I mean, what does that look like from the behind-the-scenes aspect?
Well, we have a consultant on retainer, basically. Mead and Hunt is their name, and they are actively setting up meetings. We're preparing presentations for that, and really, there, you know, all of this is sort of coming together at the same time. So we're talking about revenue guarantees and how do we come up with that. We're setting up meetings with airlines, and we're talking about how do you build the terminal. I feel very confident within a fairly short amount of time we'll have another destination. Now we can handle one more, but anything else and that facility simply can't handle it.
Right.
So that's where we are.
And that confidence, is that based on what you're hearing from the airlines, or confidence in the sort of case that we're making to the airlines as a city and as a region?
It's everything. It's what we see in the airline business. So there are planes available this year that weren't available before, right? So that has changed. It's this community's determination to not turn out the lights and get out of the airport business, but to have an airport. And, you know, the conversations about the revenue guarantee with the chamber and the university and Jeff City and others. You know, Jeff City needs a viable airport as badly as anyone with that convention center. So it's the partnership, it's the airline industry, it's the willingness to do a revenue guarantee. So
right. And is the convention center actually increasing the desire of folks in Jeff City to participate in trying to make Columbia Regional grow? Because in the past, there hasn't been such a willingness to think of it as a regional airport.
And I understand that. Why pay for something that you get for free, right? It's pretty hard to sell. But when you have something that lives or dies off air traffic, like a convention center, it becomes a lot more important. So, I've had a few conversations myself, and I know there are others with our counterparts in Jeff City, and they're very interested.
Mike Kelly, do you share the city manager's optimism?
We do, definitely do. We see this as a regional issue and not just a City of Columbia issue. And obviously with both the Jefferson City, Lake of the Ozarks, Moberly, Fulton, Boonville, those areas supporting that airport, that helps us all.
Okay. I think we'll go ahead and remind our listeners this is Intersection, a program of KBIA and the Reynolds Journalism Institute. Today we're talking about the future of passenger air service at Columbia Regional Airport and about the plans for expanding the terminal building, and we'll keep talking about the expansion plans after we take a break. Joining me in the studio are Columbia City Manager Mike Mathis. Along with him is Michael Kelly, the general manager of the Stony Creek Inn and also a board member for the Missouri Hotel and Lodging Association. If you'd like to join our conversation, you can give us a call. Our phone number is 573-882-8925. You can also send us an email at intersection@kbia.org, or you can go online to kbia.org, follow the link for Intersection, and watch our video feed and join our online chat room. We're going to take a quick break here, but we'll be back, and we hope that you'll be a part of the conversation when we do come back. So stick around. And again, our number, 882-8925. We hope to hear from you. And welcome back. This is Intersection, a program of KBIA and the Reynolds Journalism Institute. Today we're talking about the future of passenger air service at the Columbia Regional Airport and plans for expanding the terminal building there. Joining me in the studio are Columbia City Manager Mike Mathis, along with Mike Kelly, the General Manager of the Stony Creek Inn, and also a board member for the Missouri Hotel and Lodging Association. For those of you in our audience, what would you like to see in an upgraded Columbia Airport terminal building? Give us a call. Share your thoughts. 573-882-8925. You can also send us an email at intersection@kbia.org. And on that note, Mike Mathis, maybe you can talk a little bit about what is in the plans for an expanded terminal down there.
Well, I'll plug our website. if you go to the city's website, gocolumbiamo.com or org. I can never remember.
Com.
Good.
.com.
You can find the artist rendering and the consultant's report that sort of lists all the details. There's a lot to it, but I'll hit just a few highlights. So if you've been to the current terminal, it's pretty cramped. Maybe the restaurant's open. usually it is. And if it's really crowded, you feel it. I mean, a lot of people wait outside till they start having the TSA and then they come in. This would be a scenario. And then, okay, you get through TSA, maybe you can find a seat on the holding area and maybe not. And then when they open the door, you can walk out on the tarmac. Maybe you put your luggage in the thing and maybe not. And then you climb up the stairs and you're on the plane. That's worked pretty well for, 100 years. But
or since 1969.
Yeah. But imagine a terminal that you see in almost every other airline now. So you walk in, there's plenty of room, there are plenty of chairs to sit down, there are charging stations, there are ADA restrooms, the restaurant's right there, after you get through security. You can get a ticket, the counters are right there. And then you walk out of one of, I think, two or three gates where there's a jet bridge. And so rather than go back outside and then up the street, you just walk right onto the plane. So that's the vision for the new terminal.
Right. Now, the initial plan that was presented to the council at the beginning of January has two phases on all of this, right?
Yes. And the terminal building really is considered phase two of all of it. But you don't have to do phase one first. So it's one of those things where it's all happening at once. And so we're, for example, right now we're fixing the taxiways, and that's largely funded by the federal government, but a local match. We have a fence project going on. That's literally to keep the deer off the runways. that's a good goal. And then, the work that's left is we have to lengthen the other runway, the cross runway, and rebuild those. And so you can do one at a time. That's the great part that we have to. And then you need parking and all that as well before the terminal. So you can do – they don't have to go in order, I guess.
Right. Now, all those external things separate from the terminal, is that part of what would get paid for out of this tax or however they come up with it? Or are those paid for from a different thing in terms of the runways and the parking and all of that?
The estimate that's in that document separates them. But I'll tell you, in the real world, when the city jumps onto a project, we try to maximize the dollars that are available. And so if there were a parking need, we would try to squeeze that out as well, with the terminal being, that comes first. And if there's money left, well, then we'll pave a little bit more space out there. The lucky part is there's plenty of space out there. And, we're pragmatic as well. If we're out of parking spots, we can always throw down a gravel pad and have more. So it's not a doomsday scenario by any means.
Right. And are you envisioning it all happening at once? Because the plan calls for a sort of smaller version that could be a standalone phase one, couldn't it? I mean, just expanding the ability for people to get onto a bigger plane right off the bat with a slightly upgraded area that would be a lot less than the entire plan, right?
That's right. In fact, we're actively working on a plan to do it for even less than that. And so as we dig in and find ways to accommodate that, one of the real simple ideas is to have one small structure added to the current building and then move the baggage claim to it. And so you come in the new you know, the added piece. And so you have then two rooms to go out of next to each other that are already, you know, through TSA. So there's stuff we can do like that to maximize how the current setup is. And that's what allows us to get one more destination before we're totally right. out of space.
And then the in terms of that plan, that sort of phase one is not the whole 17 million figure that's getting thrown around, right? That's
the 17 million is just the terminal. That's the phase two, the terminal, the new terminal, and that's the lesser expensive version. So there was a north and a south plan. The south plan is the cheaper one, 17 million.
Right. But and so would it require 17 million to do even a smaller part of the upgrade, or could
no.
some of it be done cheaper?
I think phase one is 4 million in the plan, and I think we can approximate it pretty well with far less than that. So that the phase one is a book of work that we think we can make happen with current funding streams. Maybe that's the best way to say that.
I see. So that could already be paid for, and it would just be the additional $17 million for phase two that needs to get.
That's right. That's an amount
somewhere.
Of money that we simply don't have anywhere.
Right. Yeah. Right. I just want to get a couple of comments from our listeners into the discussion from our chat room. First of all, Sue says she was meeting with an organization last month about moving their offices to Columbia to partner with MU, and their biggest holdup was not having an airport to get in and out of, so that backs up. Some of what the city manager was saying. Walter says also in our chat room, as an event planner and someone who makes travel for hundreds of people every year, I deal with the problem of not having great air service every day. I would have to budget more for lodging if Columbia added a hotel tax, sorry, but it would save so much money on time and travel. So the flip side of that argument is, yeah, it may cost a little more in the hotels, but it would save people time. It would save potential hassle of driving in from the other airports. I hate to double back, but let's do that a little bit. Mike Kelly, what do you think of that in terms of that trade-off? I mean, what's your sense of the trade-off between slightly more expensive hotels versus the being able to fly directly into Columbia?
Well, the large part of that is what percentage is that going to be of the person coming in that's going to pay that hotel tax? I mean, what is that percentile? That's a hard one for me to reach out and grab at the moment. A large part of our business is still from a drive-in, and an airport will not add to there. They're still going to use, you know, driving in from southern Missouri, so they're not going to use an airport. So you're looking at some pretty big pieces of business that come to us now that will face direct cost, and there's other competition out there. So that's our first fear on so high of a percentage going from 4 to 7%. The Hotel Association has definitely wants to be a part of our community, and we see it as a viable option to have a fully functional airport that allows people to get in and out from all places easily. So we want to be a player, right. Without a doubt. We do want to pay that part of it, and we see some indications toward that. How we do that is, again, part of the conversation. Currently, right now, we're looking at that would be an escrow for the bond for the buildings of it. We're primarily not wanting to put monies into buildings as much as we are into promoting tourism, promoting Columbia, and that's what we do. That's what the CVB does very well. They've done a great job of promoting this community into what it is today. We see the addition of more soccer fields, football fields, baseball fields as another gigantic growth for us. Other communities have done it. Overland Park, Kansas has done a major one for about $30 million and paid it off in about 3 years. Wentzville, Missouri looks at doing it. So there's some added business. That's our question. We'll be the first to admit I wouldn't have a ready answer for you, but I do know that we would want to ante up and to some stage on the airport development. We just think a 3% drop, a jump, is a pretty hefty jump.
Well, help me with the math here for a second. How much more per night would an average hotel room in Columbia cost if that additional tax were added onto it? I, Like, what's the range that people are paying now for a room, and what, how much is that tax increase?
Range now, it would probably add about $4 a night for a room, and some depending on the rooms and the which hotels, but yeah, roughly about $4 a night.
And you think that $4 is enough to make or break someone's decision?
It can be. When you're talking, again, we point to, I point to Misha as just a shining example. People are coming from small town Missouri, and that is a big factor. They're also having to pay for meals, gas, and everything else to get up here. So,
right, right.
That does add to it at the end of the day.
Okay. One other thing I wanted to ask you, I mean, the examples in the other towns that you talked about where, you know, the there was money put in to help build those facilities, I mean, some people might argue that those are a little bit different from an airport in terms of driving people to come into the town. What would you say to that? I mean, some of those examples that you threw out there, how would those compare with an airport terminal in terms of their ability to get people into the city?
Well, into the city is an airport's going to – I guess I'm not really understanding where
I guess
you're going.
In terms of as a draw in order to make people want to go to the place. I mean, you know, you were talking about funding for these other facilities.
Facilities, having the facilities that meet these needs. We see sports groups are a major part. That's a funding that's going to happen no matter to some level how bad the recession gets. Parents are still going to have their kids go to the major sporting, not major sporting events, but these soccer meets, these football meets, basketball meets. So an airport in that example was not going to help. That's not going to help their decision model.
Right.
It does drive quite a bit for the city because of the revenue that they're spending not only with the hotels, restaurants, shopping, getting gas.
Right. Mike Mathis, in terms of priorities for the city, $17 million is a big chunk of money. You think the airport is the place it ought to get spent as opposed to other ways that that money could be allocated in terms of trying to develop the economy here?
Well, as we think about all the needs the city has, quite honestly, there's a tremendous need with stormwater infrastructure, paving more streets, you know, you name it, we need to rebuild it or build it. Almost none of them have the advantages that this particular scenario does, mainly because, you know, there's no repaying that expenditure, so to speak. So that, again, that's, I think, why there's some interest in the idea of the lodging tax is it's not completely based on our local ability to pay taxes. It draws revenue from those who visit. And so that's the I think that's the compelling piece of that. And so, you know, it creates benefit for those folks and for everyone that lives and does business here with kind of a split funding model.
Okay. I want to remind everyone in our audience once again, this is Intersection, a program of KBIA and the Reynolds Journalism Institute. Today we're talking about the future of passenger air service at Columbia Regional Airport and plans for expanding the terminal building. Joining me in the studio are Columbia City Manager Mike Mathis, along with Mike Kelly, the General Manager of the Stony Creek Inn, and a board member for the Missouri Hotel and Lodging Association. For those of you in our audience, are you more likely to fly out of St. Louis or Kansas City rather than Columbia? And if so, what might change that? Share your opinions and your perspective on this by giving us a call, 573-882-8925. You can also send us an email at intersection@kbia.org. In the chat room, you know, there's been a suggestion, what about charging for parking to try to raise funds? It brings up a whole vein of questions that I wanted to touch on. Where else could the money come from? If it weren't going to be a hotel tax, where else might the money be found? Parking, obviously one idea that someone's thrown out. Let's start with that. What about charging for parking at the airport?
It's an idea that, in fact, I think we used to charge for parking at the airport. It was seen as a way to encourage folks to use the airport. You know, that by not charging, you actually save some expense. You don't have to hire someone to stand out there and make sure everyone pays, right? So it's not as much of a loss of funding as you might think by going free. Long term, many airports do that. If they build a parking garage, they'll have to fund that through parking rates. There's no other way to build something like that. But because we're pretty blessed with a certain amount of land and, you know, open lots there, that we can do that fairly inexpensively. So right now, those if you've seen those parking lots, you can tell they're fully depreciated. They're paid off, right?
Yeah.
So we're not missing anything there, but it would be a source of money for a new terminal, for example. However, the rates you could charge would be fairly limiting, and it wouldn't build a terminal, right, the amount of revenue.
Are there other places that money could come from to try to pay for that terminal cost then?
Sure. You know, it's all about our decision making locally. You know, you could put something on a ballot and just say, hey, are you willing to pay more sales tax across the board or more property tax? And we'll just build it with that. I think the thinking there is, well, that's 100% borne by local taxpayers. And so I think the preference would be to look to the lodging tax. And I think because, you know, Kansas City and St. Louis, especially, and Jeff City, they're all 7% or higher. And so the idea is, well, if you matched Jeff City's but stay below Kansas City, St. Louis, maybe that keeps it somewhat competitive, but still raises the needed funds. And I'll say, you know, the $17 million, I think the 3% increase pays for that, but a 2% wouldn't cover the cost, the debt cost. So that's, I think, why that number comes up for 3%.
Right. That was that actually was brought up in the chat room, this idea of comparing to St. Louis, Kansas City, other places. That would put us on par, put this Columbia on par with St. Louis and Kansas City if it were to go up to 7%, right?
Or would it be slightly less, but close.
It would be slightly less, but I think the better example to point to is Springfield, which is at 4% and probably a closer competitor for us as far as for different groups that we do bid in, and they are running their airport without it hitting a hotel tax. So they're at 4%. We would be close to the highest. St. Louis and Kansas City are just above 7%. They've got a couple other little taxes with it, so it's about 7.5 for both of them. Jeff City, again, is closest at 7. Most of the rest of the areas are closer to a 4% or less. Branson did something as well. They didn't go after to the hotel motel tax. They went to a sales tax of, I think, of 0.4 or 0.5% overall. That's a private run airport down there. And they've built it, but they've then had some problems on keeping it full after they've built it too. So that's a concern. And you've seen that at a couple of my sister hotels that they've built it and unfortunately have lost it.
Right.
Or lost flights. So those are concerns too.
Mm-hmm. Those are those destinations that our tourism draws to begin with, and then they get hit with that recession. You know,
a couple of them were like East Peoria. We saw it in Moline, Quad Cities Airport, Sioux City. Branson's, like I said, it's been kind of up and down, and I guess it's just possibly may or may not lose some of its flights shortly.
Okay. I just want to bring in a couple of comments from the chat room, and then we'll keep going here. A comment from Gene, who says, I'm in the lower income part of the Columbia population. An improved airport is going to have very little effect on my life. I'd rather see the city focus on affordable housing. So just one of our listeners had that to say. A couple of comments from the chat room also about the price of the flights and that is an issue. One person in particular trying to get to Memphis, finding that very expensive, but going through Memphis, not so expensive. And so that becomes an issue. And that's – who knows how the airlines set their pricing, right?
I haven't been able to figure it out, quite honestly.
Another person, Justin, brought up the availability of Southwest Airlines flights as opposed to the more expensive flights that go on the older airline much of the time. And so the appeal of Kansas City and St. Louis is that he can get cheaper flights on Southwest. So just some of the comments from the chat room. Mike Kelly, I wanted to double back with you on the question of how to pay for an airport expansion. Where do you think the money ought to come from, if not from hotel taxes?
It's community at a large effort. It has to be. It has to be a regional effort. It has to be all the way through the lake, Randolph County, Howard, Callaway, Boone. that's the community that's going to benefit from that service in a multitude of ways.
Right. And so raise the hotel tax on the entire region and not just Columbia?
No, I'm not sure I would go after a hotel tax. Again, my problem with the hotel tax is you can't see a direct correlation. You can't look at figures today and say we're going to have 3% more money. As Mike just stated, 2% doesn't work. Well, when you do it at 3, you're going to see a falling off of revenue, so you're actually going to see less than 2% of the hotel tax coming to you. So you're actually going to see a negative gain that's not going to work for you either. A small increment to the hotel, good possibility. Sales tax, possibility. Restaurant tax, possibility. All these things can help that everybody is paying for, if that in fact is what the community wants. It really needs to be a community, because you do. I think the biggest thing about the task force and what they want to do is they want to move. We currently have a market share of 8%. They want to move it to 40 by the year 2020. And so they want to garner those people that are going out of town now. And that's our local. So a lot of our local people are having to fly out, come back, and they're stuck with flying out of Kansas City, St. Louis, just quite frankly cost.
Right.
Or availability.
And you don't think a restaurant tax would have a negative effect in a different way? I mean,
Hadn't seen it in Branson. It was a minimal tax for them and what they had to raise to get the airport going. So no reports back on that as far as for their area. Obviously, they're a big tourism area, big drive for that.
Right. What about some kind of corporate tax? I mean, if the corporations or companies that are potentially going to locate here are the ones that would benefit from better air service, why not some kind of business tax to pay for the terminal rather than a hotel tax?
You know, there are those who would argue that most taxes are corporate tax now, including a hotel motel tax. But at the end of the day, you know, it's kind of all sales tax, isn't it? I mean, one way or another, you're taxing some sort of transaction. You know, that said, you can almost fill in the blank with any sort of scenario you can think of. But I think at the end of the day, and this is one of the things I love about Missouri, it's got to go to a vote, right? So the community will decide how we move forward, or if we move forward. And so the interesting bit is getting as much input as possible now to try to figure out how do we structure this so that the community feels comfortable about it, is willing to go there if it wants to.
Right. Let's talk about the moving forward a little bit. I mean, this is going to require a legislative change in order to raise the tax that high, isn't it?
Not necessarily. The capability to raise it exists already. I think the idea behind having the legislature weigh in is just to sort of prospectively bless it, as opposed to have it be wondered at. So, for example, Jeff City took that route and was, you know, received permission to ask their voters if they could go to 7%. Although I think our legal staff is saying that you know, that already exists, the ability to do it. It's just complicated, and so it's easier to go to the legislature and see if they'll bless it ahead of time.
Right, you're shaking your head no.
It's currently, you have to have legislative approval from the state. We're currently at 5% with the state. To go above 5, we would need to go to the legislators, and somebody would have to draft that language. It would then have to go to the state. They would have to approve it. Once it's approved and given the authority, the city would then have that authority to do it, and then would have to, again, go out.
Right.
On a ballot issue.
The one respectfully disagree.
Please.
The city's, you know, a charter city, so there's a different set of rules for Columbia than there are for many cities in Missouri. And so there's where a lot of the confusion lies. Yeah. And so even though, you know, our legal staff says, you know, you don't have to, the decision to ask is really one of let's just tag every base, make sure, you know, you hate to.
Right.
Hate to get a home run and miss second, right?
So. Yeah. If we happen to have any lawyers out here who know this definitively, feel free to call in.
That'd
our numbers,
great.
882-8925. We've only got a couple of minutes left for you to give us that answer by phone, or you can send us an email, intersection@kbia.org. I'm sure the lawyers will keep sorting this out. Either way, how soon might this be put to the community to make a decision on whether they want to raise money for the airport terminal this way?
Well, that's really a question the council will have to answer. So my role really becomes, you know, I'm providing facts as far as I know them, and but really it's their decision making purview whether this moves forward or not, and so they'll watch closely for council meetings, and of course it's all public and online and on television.
Right.
Anyway,
what else might be in store in terms of the airport? I mean, you talked about other airlines potentially coming in. How soon might something like that happen? If there were going to be service to another city, how far into the future might that be?
You know, I'd love to say it's going to happen this summer. So I will.
Really? This summer?
This summer. That's what we're shooting for.
And you think that's realistic, that there would be a second destination?
You know, I think all the tumblers are in place. We just have to, make it happen.
Okay, we'll bring you back on in the summer to see how that goes.
I'll either eat my hat or celebrate.
We have another listener, audience member who has weighed in with an email here, talking about going out of Kansas City or St. Louis, and saying that it's usually cheaper to go out of St. Louis or Kansas City than it is Columbia Regional. I believe it's usually $50 extra at Columbia without taking into account those extra costs and gas, et cetera. So can
I just
looking at all of that together, yeah.
We're really looking at that, and if you, I think Springfield did a sort of do the math campaign. I think if you do the math, what you find is many local businesses subsidize folks to fly out of St. Louis and Kansas City. They pay mileage in many cases. Sometimes they pay for a hotel room the night before. They pay to park the car. They pay to rent the car in some cases. I've heard of one case where they actually bought a fleet car. They bought a car to take back and forth. So that's all dollars that you don't have to spend if you fly out of Columbia. And so we're actively doing that math. And it in the initial phase, and I said just preliminarily, it's definitely more than the sort of advertised price difference.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just want one quick thing on your prediction for the summer. Where do you think that extra flight is going to go?
Oh, well, now that would – I wish I knew. At this point, we'll take Chicago or Dallas
or
Denver. And
do you think one of those three places, Chicago, Dallas, Denver, that's a likely scenario?
I think – well, I'll just say all the variables are there. All the tumblers are in place. You know, the demand for those locations is clear. They have space available. Airlines have scaled back, and there are planes available.
And is one of those three more likely than the other two?
I don't think we'd be too picky at this point.
Okay. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have. Thanks to our guests today, Columbia City Manager Mike Mathis, trying to do a little prediction into the future. We'll see how that goes. Also, Michael Kelly, the General Manager of the Stony Creek Inn. We'd like to remind those of you enjoying this as a rebroadcast that Intersection takes place live for a full hour from 2 to 3 every Monday. You can join us each Monday afternoon by going KBIA on the radio or by going online to kbia.org and following the link for Intersection. There you'll be able to watch a video feed of our program, submit your questions and comments, and participate in an online chat with others in the audience. You'll also find a video archive of all of our past programs, including the full hour of today's conversation. Intersection is broadcast from the Reynolds Journalism Institute and is a project of RJI and KBIA. Today's program was produced by Raymond Tungekar and Janet Saidi. Travis McMillan is our technical director with production assistance from Leah Becerra. Pat Akers is our audio producer. I'm Ruben Stern. Have a great week. Thanks for joining us.